This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2020, and today 242 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is August 30. Our readings today will be from the Wisdom of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2, Psalms 52 and 53, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 6 through 10, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through chapter 11, verse 1. And today we start a new book, The Wisdom of Solomon. It's not written by Solomon, but honors his desire for wisdom. This book is found in the Septuagint and is possibly the last Old Testament book written. So it forms a sort of transitional writing, a bridge before the New Testament. The focus is on wisdom, not a collection of wise sayings as we found in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, but in finding wisdom itself. It was probably written by a Greek-speaking Jew who wanted to encourage young Jews who were in danger of slipping away from their faith to return. It is read throughout the year when the Old Testament is called for, and especially during Holy Week. Let's begin. The Wisdom of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2. Love righteousness, you who judge on the earth. Think about the Lord in goodness, and seek him with sincerity of heart, because he is found by those who do not tempt him, and he is manifest to those who do not disbelieve him. For dishonest reasoning separates people from God, and when his power examines someone, it convicts the undiscerning. For wisdom will not enter the soul that plots evil, nor will it dwell in a body involved in sin. For a holy spirit of discipline flees from deceit and sends away undiscerning reasoning. It will put wrongdoing to shame when it comes near. For wisdom is a spirit that loves mankind, but she will punish a blasphemer because of his words. For God is the witness of his thoughts, the true examiner of his heart, and the hearer of his tongue. Because the Spirit of the Lord fills the world, and he who holds all things together knows what is said. Therefore, no one who speaks unrighteous things will escape notice, nor will justice, when it cross-examines, pass by him. For there shall be a close examination into the deliberations of an ungodly man, and a report of his words will come to the Lord as proof of his lawlessness. For the zealous ear hears all things, and the noise of murmuring is not hidden. Therefore keep yourself from useless murmuring, and refrain your tongue from evil speech. For no secret word will go unpunished, and a lying mouth will destroy one's soul. Do not be zealous for death by the deceit of your life, nor bring destruction upon yourself by the works of your hands. For God did not make death, neither does he have pleasure over the destruction of the living. For he created all things that they might exist, and the generations of the world so they might be preserved. For there was no poison of death in them, nor was the reign of Hades on the earth. For righteousness does not die, but the ungodly summoned death by their words and works. Although they thought death would be a friend, they were dissolved. For they made a covenant with death, since they were deserving to share it in common. For they said among themselves, as they reasoned incorrectly, "Our life is short and painful, and there is no cure for the death of a man, for no one has been known to return from Hades, because we were born by chance, and after this we shall be as though we never existed, for the breath in our nostrils is smoke, and our speech is the spark kindled by the beating of our heart. When the spark is extinguished, our body will turn to ashes, and our breath will disperse like empty air. Then our name will be forgotten in due time, and no one will remember our works. So our life will pass away like the trace of a cloud, and be scattered like fog, driven away by the rays of the sun, and depressed by its heat. For our appointed time is the passing of a shadow, and there is no return from our death. Because it is sealed up, no one can turn back. Come, therefore, and let us enjoy the good things that exist, and make the most of creation as quickly as possible, as we did in our youth. Let us be filled with expensive wine and perfumes, and let no flower of springtime pass us by. Let us crown ourselves with rosebuds before they wither away. Let none of us fail to share in our arrogance. Let us leave signs of our gladness everywhere, because this is our portion and this is our lot. Let us oppress the righteous poor man. Let us not spare a widow, nor respect the aged gray hair of an old man. Let our might be our law of righteousness, for what is weak is shown to be useless. Let us lie in ambush for the righteous man, because he is useless to us and opposes our deeds. He denounces us for our sins against the law and accuses us of sins against our upbringing. He claims to have knowledge of God, and he calls himself a child of the Lord. He has become for us as a refutation of our purposes. Even seeing him is a burden to us, because his life is unlike that of others, for his paths go in a different direction. We are considered by him as a hybrid, and he avoids our ways as something immoral. He considers the last things of the righteous as blessed and pretends that God is his father. Let us see if his words are true, and let us put these last things to the test at the end of his life. For if the righteous man is a son of God, he will help him and deliver him from the hand of those who oppose him. Let us test him with insult and torture, that we may know his gentleness, and test his patient endurance. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for there shall be a visitation because of his words. So they reasoned these things, and were led astray, for their malice blinded them. But they did not know the mysteries of God, nor hope for the wages of holiness, nor judge the reward of blameless souls. For God created man for immortality, and made him an image of his own eternity. But death entered the world by the envy of the devil, and those of his portion tempted. Psalm 52. The fool said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt and abominable in lawlessness. There is none who does good." God looks from heaven upon the sons of men, to see if there were any who understood or sought God. All turned aside, they were altogether rendered useless. There is none who does good, not even one. Do all the workers of lawlessness not know? They eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon God. They were in great fear where no fear was, for God scattered the bones of men pleasers. They were put to shame because God scorned them. Who will bring the salvation of Israel out of Zion? When God brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob will greatly rejoice, and Israel will be glad. Psalm 53. Save me, O God, in your name, and judge me in your power. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers rise up against me, and the powerful seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. For behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the protector of my soul. He will return evils to my enemies, utterly destroy them in your truth. I will sacrifice to you voluntarily. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. You delivered me from all my afflictions, and my eye looked upon my enemies. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 6 through 10.
When a righteous man dies, his hope does not perish, but the boast of the ungodly perishes. A righteous man escapes from a snare, but the ungodly man is handed over in his place. There is a snare for citizens in the mouth of the ungodly, but the perception of the righteous is prosperous. A city stays upright in the good things of the righteous, but it is razed to the ground by the mouths of the ungodly. A man in need of discernment treats citizens with contempt, but a man of discernment keeps quiet.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, flee idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, "This was offered to idols," do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. In Christianity, we have a freedom from the law of Moses. Christians don't have to follow the many and minute commands that are found in the Mosaic law. And this is what Paul means when he says that all things are lawful for me. But it doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want, because he immediately follows it up by saying that not all things are helpful to me. And the things that are helpful for me are to seek what is edifying and what is best for another's well-being. So we have a new law, really, not the Mosaic law, but the law of love. As Orthodox Christians, we might look at our own tradition and say that we have many and minute commands, such as attending liturgical services, fasting practices, but these are different than the Old Testament law because they are secondary to the command to love. So while we have the practice of abstaining from certain foods on most Wednesdays and Fridays, a practice to build our self-control and teach us humility, it is not a primary law. For instance, if we are visiting someone on a Friday who doesn't know our practice and serves what we usually abstain from, as Orthodox Christians, we eat what is laid before us, and we eat with thanksgiving, giving glory to God. We do this out of love. Love always comes first. That is the law we have as Christians. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.